The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say hello and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service on this Sunday next before Advent. It's the Sunday when we traditionally think about the kingship of Christ, and that will be the theme of our service today. And as those who have been tuning in to the news in recent days will be aware, today we gather in person for the last time for the next 2 weeks following the announcements on Friday that all church buildings and businesses will close for 2 weeks from next Friday as a circuit breaker in the current situation. But while our church building will be closed, we do hope to be able to provide services online and through our dial-up service. So services will still be available every Sunday over the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday, we hope to have an Advent carol service available for people. And the following Sunday, we're going to be live streaming our Blue Christmas service, which is a service for those who find this season of the year particularly difficult for various reasons. So just to make you aware that services will be available over the next couple of weeks, and our midweek Advent services will also be available online as we await further guidance for the weeks later down the road in December. Notices for the week that is to come. This coming Wednesday sees the final session of our first online Alpha course. We hope to be able to run another Alpha course in the new year, but this Wednesday is the final session on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom at 7 o'clock. And this coming Friday, we're looking forward to another Messy Church online. If you have children or grandchildren, it's a great opportunity to tune in. There'll be lots of crafts and activities and songs, and the opportunity to reflect on this season of the year for children in that special online event that will be available on the church's Facebook page and website next Friday. I have a letter from our bishop, which I've been asked to read. It's been read in every church in the diocese this morning. And so I'm just going to ask if you would just pay attention to some words written to all churches from our bishop. Beloved in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and those you love. These are days that stretch all of us, days in which we look to Christ for wisdom and to the Holy Spirit for guidance. These are days when the church and those who follow Christ need to own the calling that is ours to love and care for our neighbors, to consider and care for the needs of others, and to love God with our whole lives, proclaiming Christ faithfully in all circumstances, at all times, and in every place. In the days and weeks ahead, as we deal with this awful COVID-19 pandemic and the restrictions placed upon us, I'm calling on all of us in our churches and parishes to respond in ways that bear witness to Christ and to his gospel. First, please be diligent in observing all the ways that we can keep others and ourselves safe. In public places, please wear a mask, observe social distancing, wash our hands often, and let's do all in our power to keep each other safe. Secondly, please pray earnestly for all those who currently work for our health service. Many of them are at the front line in fighting this pandemic, as they literally fight for the lives of those who are sick because of this virus. Alongside praying, let's as church congregations identify those among us who work for the health service and find ways of supporting them and their families at this time. Thirdly, as churches, please find ways of supporting local businesses who have been impacted by periods of lockdown. These include what are regarded as non-essential retail, close contact services, and hospitality. This Christmas, please support them by doing as much as possible of your Christmas shopping from these local businesses. Why not give gifts of gift tokens from local businesses? Please support those whose future livelihood is on the line. Fourthly, let us be kind in our dealings with those who are working tirelessly to serve our communities. Perhaps you are retired or, because of other life circumstances, have time to hand. Please use that time to pray for others who are stretched and giving tirelessly of themselves. Please speak kindly and supportively to them. Please demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your dealings with others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fifthly, those of us whose income has not been impacted by COVID-19 now have a Christian responsibility and indeed the privilege of ensuring that our churches are well positioned to serve our communities. We want to bring Christ's love in practical ways to those around us and also ensure that the message of the gospel is being spread abroad in our parishes and beyond. So you and I, whose income has not been impacted in recent days, should look carefully at how we can increase what we contribute to the work of God in our church each week or month, both now and onwards into 2021. Finally, we are set in family and in local communities. Be watchful of those around us whose lives and livelihoods are being impacted, those whose security has been shaken, and even those who might be victims of domestic abuse or in other ways at risk. Let's be mindful of them, watching out for them, prayerful for them, and loving towards them. As Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonians, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." Be blessed and stay safe in the weeks ahead. Yours in Christ, Bishop David. Bishop David has designated next Sunday, which is Advent Sunday, to be a gift day in our parishes. And later in our service today, we will hear more about that initiative. But as we think upon his words, and as we focus our thoughts upwards in praise, today the guidance is that we don't even have socially distanced singing in our service, but Mark will be playing our hymns this morning, and we'll see the words appearing on the screen in front of us. So as we focus our thoughts upwards on this feast day of Christ the King, let's remind ourselves in these challenging times that the Lord is King. Lift up your voice.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we think today of Christ the King, we're reminded in the Old Testament that he's also a shepherd king, and that's the theme of our next hymn, Familiar Words from Psalm 23, as we hear, "The Lord's my shepherd." Our Bible reading this morning is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning to read at verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends our Bible reading. And now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated. I mentioned at the outset of our service that our bishop has designated next Sunday, Advent Sunday, as being a gift day right throughout our diocese. And he wanted to explain this initiative, which he has done in a little video which we're going to see now. And this initiative is going to stay open until the end of the year, conscious that we won't be able to gather next Sunday, which was the designated day for this initiative. But we're going to hear about the Gift Day initiative in a video now.
Church's year is coming to an end. Advent Sunday, the 29th of November, ushers in a new church year. Our calendar year draws to an end, as we know, on the 31st of December. And what a year 2020 will have been. Over 1 million people dead in our world. because of COVID-19. Our own nation in lockdown for months, unemployment, businesses impacted by this coronavirus, hospitals at times full. We went out and stood on our doorsteps and we clapped the National Health Services. We went online with our church services and often daily with daily Bible devotions. We turned out for prayer gatherings and we turned to God in prayer and Zoom prayer meetings. We continue to wear our face masks. We socially distance. We wash our hands several times every day. And the church has been at the center of collecting tens of thousands of prescriptions. The church has been involved in giving away, quite literally across our land, millions of pounds worth of groceries to those who have been in need. Above all, we've been so conscious and at moments of God's presence and of God's touch upon our lives. We were so thankful when we returned to our church buildings for what we now call in-church worship. We continue to care for people who cannot yet return by continuing to have online services. We continue to seek to serve our communities. We know the meaning of those words, God is good all the time. God is good. So as an act of thanksgiving across our diocese, I'm asking every parish to consider having a gift day next Sunday. I'm asking that that gift day would be such that 80% of what's raised would be for a local project in your parish, a local project that would make a difference in your parish moving forward as we live through and work our way through COVID-19. That 10% of what's raised at that gift day would be given to church planting in this, our diocese of Down and Dromore, establishing, planting new congregations in parts of our diocese where that is the current need. That 10% of what's raised in our gift day would be given to our link diocese of Maridi in South Sudan to literally feed those who are hungry and to meet the needs of that diocese. I love the words of a hymn. I'm just going to read them to us in this minute. O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be, who loved us from eternity and gave us all. The golden sunshine, gentle air, sweet flowers and fruit, your love declare. When harvest ripens, you are there. You give us all. For peaceful homes and helpful days, for all the blessings earth displays, we owe you thankfulness and praise you give us all. Freely you gave your only Son, who on the cross salvation won, and in the life through him begun, you give us all. You sent your Spirit from above as wind and fire and gentle dove, and in his gifts of power and love, you gave us all. For souls redeemed, for sins forgiven, for means of grace and hopes of heaven, to you, Lord, what can be given? You give us all. And then I love this verse, we lose what on ourselves we spend. We have as treasure without end, whatever, Lord, to you we lend, you give us all. Father, from whom we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give, O may we ever with you live, you give us all. Let's give generously, please, to this special gift day appeal in our churches next Sunday. Let's give generously next year as we move into 2021, those of us who can, mindful that there will be those who will not be able to give very much because they'll have lost their jobs, that they will have lost livelihood in other ways as well. I leave us with these words of the Apostle Paul to the young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, that is, we are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. May God really bless our gift day services next Sunday. May we give generously, and because of our giving, may our local parishes be blessed. Because of our giving, may new churches be planted. Because of our giving, may our linked dioceses of Merida be blessed. And may we continue to be generous in new ways as we move towards a new year. May God bless us. May God provide for us. May God protect us. And may God lead us forward. Amen.
In terms of our own gift day in our parish, we will be partnering for our local project with Craiga Community Association, who are running a series of events through the new year to reach out particularly to those who are socially isolated in our local area, and providing events and food parcels. Let us pray. Today is the Sunday next before Advent. It's the feast day of the kingship of Christ. And in our special collect prayer for today, we remember Jesus' rightful place in our lives. Eternal Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to focus our attention on the words of our next hymn, the hymn, Faithful Shepherd, Feed Me.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few years ago now, the then Archdeacon of Down collected me one day in his car, and he drove me to Down Cathedral. And when we arrived at Down Cathedral, the whole area right around the cathedral was cordoned off, and a policeman stopped the Archdeacon, who gave his name and was checked off a list. I had to give my name and was checked off a list as well. And then the Archdeacon was asked to open the boot, and the policeman took a look inside. My wife was very relieved it wasn't our car that we were driving in. But after their search, we were told to proceed and to park in a designated spot. And the reason for all of these restrictions and all of these checks was that Prince Edward was coming to visit Downpatrick, and he wanted to see the cathedral, to meet the cathedral chapter, and to hear about some other projects in the town. And so I found myself lining up with some other people back in the days when we were all allowed to shake hands and to have a few words. And I don't tell that story this morning to drop names, although it was certainly an interesting experience, but it showed me really something of the care and the importance that is required from a security and organizational perspective whenever a member of the royal family comes to visit. Today is the feast day of Christ the King. And today is a day when we realize that the one that we have gathered to worship today is deserving of our devotion, of our loyalty, and our obedience. And the question then arises, how are we going to prepare ourselves to meet him? Or do we believe that it is possible to prepare ourselves to meet him? Kings don't always have the best of reputations. Some kings have been known to abuse their position and their power. And so I wanted to ask the question today, what is it that sets Jesus apart as king? And I wanted to suggest a few things from that Old Testament reading we heard today from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesies about the whole state of affairs in Jerusalem. And at the time he was writing his prophecy, he was in exile near Babylon. And he spoke about a time when he could see all these idolatrous practices being introduced into the worship of the temple. And even though the temple was destroyed and people ended up in exile in Babylon, Ezekiel wanted to show the people God's message of hope and a new future. And in the Old Testament, there is this beautiful image of the shepherd king. And today, as we think of Christ the King, who Ezekiel foresaw and foretold, let's think about some of the characteristics of this king. The first thing we notice in verses 11 and 12 is that he's a king who takes responsibility. In the previous verse, before our reading began today, Ezekiel spoke about the Lord removing the existing shepherds from tending the flock. And Ezekiel was really talking about the religious leaders. And he was talking about the way that they were abusing their position and introducing these false and idolatrous practices into the temple. And we're told that the Lord will not stand for this. Ezekiel spoke about the sovereign Lord intervening, searching for his sheep and looking after them. It's a courageous thing to take responsibility when things are going wrong. And yet the Lord promises to do this. It might seem sometimes as if evil is gaining the upper hand, and those who mock or who scoff at God's teaching keep on getting away with it. But this shepherd king will not allow these things to go on. He stands up and he takes responsibility and he acts against what he sees as wrong. Now, on some levels, that maybe might prompt us to fear him or to feel vulnerable that somehow he's out to catch us doing wrong and he'll come down on us then like a ton of bricks. But Ezekiel wants to reassure us in these verses this morning with words of great love and tenderness. And as Ezekiel foretells about this king who is to come, he said, this king is proactive in rescuing people from situations of disaster and distress. In verse 12, we're told he rescues those who are scattered. He will bring them into their own land. And in verse 13, he will search for the lost. He'll search for the lost and he will bring back the strays. He will bind up the injured and he will strengthen the weak in verse 16. And as we look to reach out in a new way from our church in these very, very challenging times, it raises an important question for me and I believe for all of us. How proactive are we in searching out the lost, in bringing back the stray? Do we care about those who once were part of our church community but have stopped coming or paying attention to the spiritual part of their lives? What about those whose journey at the present time is hard or sad? And there are many people going through very, very difficult times. And if the truth be told, maybe we feel that we don't quite know what to say. Or maybe we've lost confidence that God can actually help those who are struggling. And yet in these verses, we're given such a beautiful and yet at the same time challenging picture of this shepherd king going to the places where his sheep are and longing to round them up and lead them to safety and to bring them home. And wouldn't it be such a beautiful thing if we as a church were involved in making that possible for those who at the present time are far from God in our homes and families and communities? Or what if we actually felt really lost ourselves and someone else from the church came alongside us and pointed us to Jesus and made him real for us as they prayed for us or helped us in a practical way at a low point? This shepherd king that we're hearing about this morning, he takes responsibility. He also tenderly seeks out the lost and heals the injured and strengthens the weak. And lastly, in verses 20 to 24, we're told that he restores justice and order. And there is a warning in these verses against those who bully or who tend to dominate. And the Lord speaks about appointing a new shepherd over them, his servant David. And you know, it was a descendant of David, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who came to restore order to the brokenness of our sinful world. It was Jesus who came to act as a bridge between ourselves and God when we had separated ourselves from him through our sins. So what a privilege it is for all of us today to be in the presence of a king. We're in the presence of a king as we gather to worship today, who seeks out the lost and the broken and is proactive in doing so. And we look forward to the day when his rule and his values will be acknowledged by all. And as we prepare for the season of Advent next Sunday, we watch and we await his coming with thankfulness and with joy. Let us pray. Lord, we pray today that as we await your coming in the season of Advent, we would honor you with our lips and our lives in your church. And as we prepare for 2 weeks of lockdown and closure of the building, we pray that this time would be a time when the church advances rather than retreats. We pray that all our online events would reach out and impact those who are searching for faith. And we thank you for remarkable stories of faith from the Alpha Course worldwide. We thank you too for the church's witness and action through food banks and in partnership with other agencies, helping in very practical ways in situations of isolation and loneliness, reaching out to support those struggling with their mental health. And we pray that we would all learn from this shepherd king that we hear of this morning in our Bible reading. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too for the nations of the world. And we pray especially today for peace in Peru, where there has been growing civil unrest and violence in recent weeks. We pray for those who are seeking to establish peace again in a troubled situation. We also want to pray this morning for those complex negotiations between Britain and the European Union with regards to Brexit in a few weeks' time. And we pray for the best possible outcome for the economy and for international relations as a result of these talks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And Lord, we pray especially today for businesses awaiting a financial package in preparation for this next lockdown. And we ask that money would reach people who desperately need it to pay their overheads and to save jobs. We pray also at this time for all the world's economists to work well and creatively together at a time of such stress and pressure on all matters, financial and economic. We also want to pray today for those going through treatment for cancer and for their families, and for those also who are currently awaiting important medical tests and consultations which have been delayed because of the present restrictions. We remember this morning all who are seriously ill at home or in nursing homes or in hospitals. We pray for them and for their families and for those who care for them as people try to offer support and love in very restricted circumstances. We remember especially all who are drawing to the end of their earthly journey and all who watch and wait with them. Lord, in your mercy, and in a quiet moment, let us bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to focus on some more important words about this King who we have gathered to worship today as we hear the tune and we read the words of the hymn, The Servant King.